Listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hola, amigos. It is hour number two. Sports Hangover. You have Saints minicamp underway. Taysom Hill having a nice day per reports. Sean Payton set to speak at 1:15. We'll have that sound coming up this hour. Jordan the intern out there manning the post. And making sure we get all the news. No Drew Brees there today. I gotta imagine still probably tied to that trial going on over there in California about jewelry. No Cameron Meredith in terms of practice. He is out there though. No Keith Kirkwood as well at practice doing some side work for Cameron Meredith. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, a little pass breakup on Cyril Grayson. Center Eric McCoy per Larry Holder. Pretty much now with the ones at center. Remember, we saw Cameron Tom open up OTAs with them. So in 4 weeks' time, the top draft pick for the 2019 NFL draft for the Saints is your center right now. Teddy Bridgewater getting a lot of time, obviously, with the ones. We'll get an understanding of what they had to say. And Jordan will also chime in here as well after practice. Coming up, though, here in a little bit, over in the Women's World Cup, go to preview with head coach Kenny Farrell of your New Orleans Jesters, 2 p.m. It is the USA and Thailand. Coming up next segment, David Grubb, more on the AD versus Pelicans versus Zion in town. Physical today, meeting with all the team officials, including Gail Benson, and going to lunch. Coach Farrell, let's bring you in. If you had a chance to take Zion Williamson to lunch, where would it be? Something tells me ye old College Inn. Ye old College Inn.
Maybe. Yeah, I do like that, to be fair. Yeah, the old coach is a good one. Yeah, you get a place in New Orleans. Great family, great New Orleans atmosphere in a place.
I was going to say, you can't exactly go and give him a pint just yet. I mean, you know, he's like 19, you know. But I mean, if you can't give him a pint, what would be, I mean, as an Irishman and having lived here in New Orleans for a while now and become basically a New Orleanian, what's the New Orleans food? What's the one bit of New Orleans that that you love food wise that you think you would highly recommend? Again, having grown up in Ireland,
I do love a great gumbo. Someone puts together a great gumbo. There's nothing like it. Fantastic, and you don't get it anywhere else in the world. And even if they try it somewhere else, they never get it right. It's all about the gumbo.
That's a very good point. I like that. You know what? That's a good point, man. Gumbo. I like that. I shudder to think when I see things like in the box.
There's so much goes into cooking a good gumbo. You know, it's like you really have to know what you're doing. You know, fantastic.
I was going to say, you need to know what you're doing because it's a very simple thing. I saw this on Twitter once and I went bananas. It's real simple. How dark does the roux need to be? Your gumbo need to look like mud water or does it need to be clear? It's a big difference. I need mine to look like Mississippi River water.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't mind the gumbo either over at Jimmy Lamario's place over by the Trek. That's a fairly good one too. The name slips me right now, but there's a great gumbo over there. It'll come to me.
But there he is. Now you got me hungry, Joey. She's got me hungry, Joey, for a cup of gumbo. Seafood or chicken andouille?
Yeah. Oh, seafood. Oh, without question.
Okay.
The seafood down here?
Okay.
Not even close. When you live in Arizona, seafood is hard to beat.
I love me some chicken andouille, but I will say the seafood gumbo, I guess. Yeah, I mean, that's your staple. But, yeah, you know, you just wonder if people would choose.
Yeah,
all right, man, let's talk a little. I know, I hear you.
Two games
to talk to speak about. We last spoke on Friday, and I got your take on Venezuela, or you previewed Venezuela, which you wanted to see because you were disappointed in the performance on Wednesday and leading up here. Again, the last two performances for the men's national soccer team before they get ready for the Gold Cup next week. So they play Venezuela. They get smoked 3-0. I saw words such as embarrassing. I saw words such as butt kicking, only it wasn't butt. Your thoughts on a 3-0 loss?
unacceptable. I don't care if you're getting ready for the World Cup. We've talked about this a few times on the radio. It's unacceptable. I mean, they're not dominating the ball. They're, you know, the core is terrible. The center of defense is awful. The goals are given away are very bad. The spirit on the team just doesn't look there, and the talent isn't there right now. So, look, is it talent that can grow and become strong in the future? Yeah, yet to be seen. But to go out on your home turf and lose to Venezuela, which is not a powerhouse in the world, is not good. So let's see what the turnaround is. But right now, very, very poor.
What do you make? Because here's the thing. What do you make of it? You keep saying, you know, the talent isn't there. You're trying to find, I guess, some of those young players. When we spoke about Wednesday's game, it was, once again, I didn't see the defense, but it was just 1-0. In this one, what was the issue here? I mean, three goals in a soccer game, that's a ton.
Yeah, no, it's a hammering. It's a very bad loss on your home turf. I think we've got to keep the faith with the coach, and hopefully he can get us there. We've got this game coming up in the Gold Cup right now, so he can turn things around in a game. I know he's in a mindset of preparing for World Cup 3 years from now, and he's got to find a balance. But if he wants to keep everybody on his side, if he wants to keep the crowd on his side, and he wants to keep pressure off from the, you know, the hierarchy at U.S. soccer, he's got to start getting some results and some performances. There's no one right now, no one truly believes in what they're doing, and he's got to turn that around. He's in control of that. He's got to get the right players on the pitch. For me, I would throw caution to the wind as far as the development is and get some wins under their belt so they can get some pride back in the game, because the fans want that, right? They listen to we're developing, we've got to bring the players in and all that. At the end of the day, they're paying in there. They want to see the team win. They want to have pride themselves. And it's on his shoulders to make that happen right now. So he's in a hole. He's in a hole very early in his coaching career. And he's got to turn around. He's got to make it happen. So I would put my best team out there. I would work with that for a while. Get some wins, get some belief. Because you're losing the belief of the fan base. You're not going to get good reporting, you know, on your side if this continues. And then his job is in jeopardy. But let's, you know, you said, what does it go to? It goes back to this. At the beginning, U.S. soccer took 14, 15 months to hire the head coach. We missed a year of preparation. It should have happened a long, long time before that. And so there is a little bit of deep-rooted stuff there. But right now, the ball's in his court. He's got the keys of the car. He's the one that's got to do it. He's got to choose the direction. And if I was sitting as his boss, I'd be saying, let's get a few wins under our belt here so that we can take pressure off the players and you can get back to the plan you have of building this team for the World Cup in 3 years' time.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%, Coach. It's one of those things, too, where you got to feel like some hope. Look, I know it's a couple of years away, and I guess maybe some people would sit there and say, look, what's the rush? What's the hurry? Every other team is taking its time, you know, to do that, and that's what they do. So you got to get better performances, and let's see what happens in a Gold Cup. Bad performances in a Gold Cup, Coach, what would happen?
No, as I say, it all gets back to belief in the program. I don't think, in my mind right now, there's only one thing that I would focus on, and that's getting the belief of the community, of the soccer community, behind the team. And what they need to do is wins is the only thing, and belief in performances is the only thing that's going to make that happen at this moment. I think any other thoughts that U.S. soccer has right now is out the window. This Gold Cup, you've got 4 weeks to fix this thing. And if they have another run of one or two bad results, and they really should be able to do well in this Gold Cup, if they get a run of one or two bad results, it turns everything off this thing. And then it's harder to accomplish what you're really trying to accomplish. So let's get in the mindset of getting these couple of wins, getting the best players on the field, and getting some results to the fans and everybody else that's invested in it, and then move from there. But this is really where they're at, and there should be no further look than that right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Coach, coming up here at 2 o'clock, though, it's the ladies, the Women's World Cup. We've seen some nice games, some good action here as well. You can see the disparity. There's some teams that are clearly better than others. It's time to see what USA is all about. Taking on Thailand, 2 o'clock in the group stage. You know, so they got three games coming up here. Coach, what do you want to see from this team? What do you expect today?
I expect complete dominance. I want to see them move the ball well, creative play, great power in their game, great athleticism, and show them what they really are, with the number one team in the world. And I think they look confident going in. They have no reason to be scared of this team. They beat them for size, athleticism, and skill. They beat them in every department. So I think go in and really take the game to them. And if it's possible to win the game by 3, 4, 5 goals, go do it. Don't settle for anything less than that. I think they really need to put their stamp down. And I think by sending a message to the rest of the world that it's true that they are the number one team to win the World Cup, and that confidence will breathe through the team as they go forward. And I'd look for a very positive performance. I would not want to see them just be patient and play. I think they should go out from the start, because I think there's a huge difference between the level of the players. And what you don't want to do is take your time and allow the Thai team to get somewhat confident and hold out for an hour, 45 minutes to an hour before you get the goal. You need to go in and get it early and then trounce them.
Yeah, no doubt, for sure. So, look, I especially coming off of the performances last week by the men, I want to see somebody wearing the red, white, and blue. Got to have a little success on the soccer pitch, Coach. So, give me a prediction. What do you think's the final score today here? Again, kickoff coming up at 2 o'clock.
5-0.
5-0. You're going, yeah. 5 scored goals. Wow. I'd be happy with a 3. I'm going to go 3-0, but you're going 5-0. All right, we'll see who comes close to you. Then again, you are the coach. Okay, we'll see how it goes. Coach,
I was the coach, and they came in and did a chance with me that way.
Uh-huh.
So they should. If you're meant to beat a team by 3, 4, 5 goals, then go beat them by 3, 4, 5 goals. You know? And that is at the right time.
No, I guess it makes sense. There you go. No doubt about it. All right, Coach. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Thank you for the time. We'll talk again later this week when they play the next one here, as they get ready for their first game in the group stage of Chile, Sweden, Thailand, and, of course, the U.S. in the group stage.
Thailand.
So, are you ready to watch? Thailand. Is that what you're going with?
Wow. Yeah, I love it.
Head-to-head record, by the way. The U.S. have beaten Thailand 9 times, lost none.
You just did it.
You think I just... What do you mean I just
you
did?
You just did
I
it.
Oh, just, I did
I,
not
I just got him. A soundbite in live from the courtroom in San Diego with Drew Brees. Okay. You ready? This is live.
Yeah. Objection sustained.
Are you sure about that 5 minutes?
Ignore the question.
Are you sure about that 5 minutes?
I don't know.
I think you made your point.
Are you sure about that 5 minutes?
I may have been mistaken.
I got no more use for this guy.
Good lawyer. Good lawyer.
He's a very good lawyer. There is no doubt for that. Sure, right, Joey?
Drew Brees and those other dudes.
I tell you what, it is funny. I'm seeing on social media people going, this is interesting. Do we have something to work? Drew Brees is not there because of a court case that's going on. There is nothing to panic about. There is nothing to work. Teddy Bridgewater is not getting the starting. There's people tweeting this right now. Seriously. I mean, but wondering why, how this is interesting. Drew Brees isn't taking snaps at the ones. He's not there. He's not there.
That's a long snap from New Orleans to San Diego.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. I see what you did there, Joey.
He got ripped, though.
David Grubb of Crescent City Sports going to join us next. We'll talk a little bit more about Clutch versus the Pelicans. Game 5 of the NBA Finals. Coach Payton should be wrapping up practice here in a matter of minutes. We'll have his thoughts coming up here as well on the show as Jordan is out there at Saints Camp. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Bigger Things sales event going on now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Come and get a great deal on Ram today. See all of their new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs, from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call a local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminex is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
Have you been injured on an offshore rig or know someone who has? Then you'll want to work with a firm that truly understands maritime law. Offshore injuries are governed by a set of laws that are quite different than land accidents. So it's important that no time is wasted finding the best maritime attorney for your case. An experienced attorney from the Gavery Law Group will help determine what your next step should be. If you need legal advice or have been injured offshore, call Gavery Law Group today at 985-223-4400 or follow us on Facebook. Get Gavery, get results.
El Paso Mexican Grill in Raceland is well known for their authentic Mexican food and their cantina. Come and enjoy their daily lunch specials and happy hour from 3 till 7 with $2 ice cold beer and 2-for-1 margaritas. Looking for the best party on the bayou? Well, that's El Paso's Grill and Cantina with a live mariachi band. El Paso Mexican Grill, the freshest food from our family to yours. El Paso Mexican Grill on Highway 1 in Raceland.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is. Who do you got? I'm not letting this go. I want to see it happen. Biebs, Tom Cruise, The Octagon. What other celebrities would you mind or not mind seeing? Go at it, fisticuff style, maybe boot to the head like you saw over the weekend. Valentina, yeesh. David Grubb, Crescent City Sports. Are you a fan of UFC?
Occasionally. I'm not a deep follower, but I will watch a fight if it, you know.
If it happens to find its way to the television, exactly. Yeah, you saw the kick, right? You saw the kick from Valentina to the forehead. I mean, dude, brutal. Anyway, who you got, Biebers or Tom Cruise?
You know, not to get into it too deep, but as big of a, I guess, I don't know, as big as a blank that Justin Bieber is, I think I'd like to see Tom Cruise get knocked out.
Ooh, wow, all right. See, I think there's just something almost sinister or just, why would he challenge him? I almost think that he's some reason somehow training on the side. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like to call him out.
Right.
Yeah, you want something. There's something here. Because, I mean, we've seen this before. A couple of celebrities, you know, said that they wanted to box before, you know, because they had actual beef with each other. Right. Some of them have. But I think a couple of them actually happened, but it's rare. But I'll put up the money on this one. I'd rather watch Cruz and Bieber than another Floyd Mayweather fight, because at least somebody might get hit.
That is very true. David Grubb joining us for Crescent City Sports. We'll talk Game 5 of the Warriors and Raptors, which went down literally to the final seconds. Kawhi Leonard passing up an attempt. Perhaps to try to take the game when he was double teamed. I mean, even he said it after he goes, I don't know what you want me to do. He was double teamed. He made the right play, right pass. I think at the very beginning was the issue, David. I think it was Van Fleet, right? I mean, you crossed midcourt. If he'd have kept going to the goal, I thought he could have taken, I think it was Livingston one on one, but he stopped to try to give Kawhi the ball. And I think that kind of allowed Golden State to get in the defense. Look, I think Klay Thompson is so key. Not that KD doesn't help. That's not what I'm saying, but this team doesn't have a chance to win without KD. I mean, without Klay Thompson. I think without KD, with Klay, they're good. Klay Thompson's defense on Kawhi initially stopped it. And then that double came for him to pass the ball. But Klay Thompson to me is so key. The big three and then the defense all within about a 30-second span.
Yeah, I mean, you looked at it, and on back-to-back possessions, you watched the Warriors do a backcourt violation and then Boogie with an illegal screen to even put them in that position. To have the composure to get it back on the defensive end for 15 seconds right after you've made this huge mistake, I thought was incredible. And then, yeah, Toronto made a mistake. They, you know, one of the things, ISO's at the top with that much time on the clock. There was no movement. They didn't set Kawhi up, like you said, to get him in a position to he likes to work in that mid area rather than just from the top. His biggest shots come from that mid area, usually on the right side, you know, just inside the 3-point line. And that's where he usually starts creating. But to have him up top, 5 feet beyond the 3-point line and Klay Thompson in front of him and everybody spread, that's not Kawhi Leonard. I don't see his game that way. And I think that was a strategic mistake. And like, for the shot to have to come down to that late in the, you know, and in the corner, that's not the shot you want to get with that much time on the clock. You want to be going to the rim and give yourself an opportunity to get a rebound and put something back in with a little bit of time on the clock. I just think Toronto just really screwed that possession up.
Yeah, it was look, Toronto had it. The timeout is being debated a lot. Toronto goes up six. They call a timeout. A lot of people feel it gave Golden State a chance to catch their breath. And after that, the momentum kind of never really seemed to go back the Raptors' way. Nick Nurse's timeout. Good move, bad move?
It depends. I mean, we don't know why, you know, and you'll never know why he called it. So I think, you know, ultimately, whatever came out of it, you both were rested. You know what I'm saying? And so if you're Toronto, Toronto just had possessions after possessions throughout the game. I thought that they just really didn't execute. And I didn't understand why they were going through these gaps. I mean, early on when the Warriors kind of got out in front of them, and you just didn't see the level of execution that you would expect in a game, you know, in a series deciding game, potentially. They seemed flat. They just didn't seem themselves. And so I'm not going to put it on any one possession or decision. But I just didn't think they played the game that they should have played. They weren't at the level that they should have been in a game that could have secured a championship.
You think the pressure? You think all knowing what it meant? You know what I'm saying? Almost not that the moment got too big, but just understanding, like, you're at home. You hear about all the parties. People were there from Saturday morning. You just wonder if all of that just kind of got to them.
You'd have to wonder, I guess, maybe, you know, but, you know, this is also a team that has, you know, Marc Gasol, who has played in the conference finals, never an NBA finals, but he's been to conference final. You have Kawhi Leonard, obviously, he's been a finals MVP. You have Danny Green, who's played in the finals. You have Serge Ibaka, who played in the NBA finals. So these are not guys who have not played in big games throughout their careers. So I think that they should have been ready. Maybe it was a coaching problem. Maybe they thought that KD was going to be more limited early on when he was shooting well. Maybe they thought that they just had it. Maybe there was some overconfidence. I don't know. But I was really surprised because that's not something you had seen from Toronto in a while. Early in the playoffs, there was some, you know, they struggled to put together back-to-back games. But the first four games of this series, they were pretty dominant except for a couple of quarters. And just last night, they just didn't look like that team.
DM Grubbs is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Crescent City Sports, of course, is the way to see his coverage, LSU and the Pels. We'll get into, obviously, the reports yesterday, right? Each side sending a volley. David Griffin nationally letting it be known. That's what I want. I want an all-star player. I want a young player with all-star potential. I want two first-round picks. Got it. Good. Great. You guys go figure it out. If it's more than one team, do it. If it's, you know, multi-teams, knock that out. And then in the afternoon, Clutch just couldn't leave it, could it? They just couldn't do it, David. As they come out and say, yeah, that's great. That's what you want. But only the Lakers and Knicks, two winning organizations, David. That's the only places he will sign long-term deal.
And what's funny to me is I just keep going back, and if we do the timeline of Anthony Davis' statement of there's no list, There's New York, L.A., Milwaukee, and the Clippers on my list. Then it became all 29 teams on my list. And now we're down to two teams, and it's all about winning. It's all about winning. The two losingest franchises over the last 7 years, while he's been playing, it's all about winning.
And winning and then, organizations, by the way, too, David. Winning organizations.
That's right. You've got a great owner in New York, right? James Dolan, one of the finest. And the Lakers front office is just the sea of tranquility. No one
throws out fans better than New York. That's not a bad thing that Dolan throws out people that criticize him. That's just to show you that's how much winning matters, David, that if you give me criticism, you're gone. We're only about positivity and winning in New York.
He banned a legend. How do you ban Charles Oakley, a legend? That's the kind of owner you want to play for. Great. Good for you, AD. I think this is just sad and petty because they're trying to really just drive down the price. And you hate to say it like this, but last night, you know, we recorded a podcast and immediately we were talking about the impact of Kevin Durant's injury. More teams are going to get involved now for Anthony Davis because that's one less player potentially out on the market. And I think that more teams are going to get in. And I think David Griffin was absolutely right because weeks ago we also discussed this, that a third team was probably going to be necessary for everybody but Boston because you couldn't provide New York doesn't have an all-star that they could give up or even somebody you think could be an all-star. L.A. doesn't have an all-star. Their best player is coming off of a blood clot in his shoulder. And the other ones don't, you know, Lonzo Ball is still coming off an ankle injury. None of these guys are all-star players, and their picks aren't that great. So none of these teams out here can deliver what David Griffin is asking for. And if I'm him, I stand firm on it because somebody's going to give it to you. You have six teams out there with enough cap space to sign two max players. There ain't 12 max players out there. So the price to get Anthony Davis will remain high, if not go higher over the next week.
Yeah, I think you bring up the point right there. There are teams that have it. You saw last week alone teams position and maneuver themselves to do it. Now it's a matter of time to showcase and to do it. Let me ask you this. Does the KD injury help or hurt David Griffin?
Oh, it helps him tremendously. Because the teams that can afford to take a risk, if Kevin Durant still opts out and wants to be a free agent, the teams that can afford to take a risk of a guy missing a year, that's a very limited group. Brooklyn can't do that. New York would do. New York would pay for KD and keep him on the shelf for a year. They don't have a problem with that. But most teams in that position cannot afford that. It can't give up $35 million for a guy to sit on the bench. So that narrows his pool immensely, even though we thought it was pretty narrow already. So people are trying like heck now to get one of the two top guys. And that comes down to now it's either Kawhi or AD. Because I think Kyrie Irving's stock has dropped a bit. So, I mean, if you're fighting for Kawhi or AD, again, Kawhi's the kind of guy who you'll have no idea what his mind is on, and he probably still has a very narrow focus. But AD's under contract, so the Pelicans have the power, and they can move him to wherever they choose, no matter what Clutch wants, no matter what AD wants. It's not his decision. He made his decision. He has to leave. David Griffin has the power. He can send him wherever he wants. And you've seen it before. Got Paul George, I want to go to Lakers. Well, here's welcome to Oklahoma City. Kawhi Leonard, I want to go to Lakers. Be in Toronto. So Anthony Davis has no stake in this other than to make sure that his bags are packed.
Yeah, I just don't see how other things are going to go in another direction. David, two quick final tidbits. He's here, my friend. Did you resist the temptation to just go hang out outside? I mean, I know it's nice and toasty out there for Saints practice, but he's in the building. Zion getting his physical, going to meet with Gail Benson, Gentry, Griffin. They're taking him to lunch. So first things first, if they asked you, you got a text. Where would you take Zion for lunch?
Yeah, see, I think most people would be like, let's take him to Commanders or something like that.
Right.
Take him in the neighborhood. You know, Willie Mae's Chicken, you know, take him over. That's great. That's, you know, take him to someplace where he can just be a New Orleanian. You know, that's what I think. If you take him into a neighborhood restaurant where the people are, where the folks, because I think that's one of the great things that Zion is going to learn. As a kid who's from a small town in South Carolina, that New Orleans is a city that embraces people. And, you know, celebrities come through here all the time. And I've never seen people, you know, surrounding them in throngs. New Orleanians treat you like a neighbor. And I think that would be the best thing. Don't take them where the you know, the hoity-toities are. Take them and let him be a man of the people, because I think that's what he is.
I have a phrase, get his hands messy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, anywhere it can go white. Anywhere it's got white tablecloths and nice places like that. Get your hands messy. Little pulled pork, little charred oysters. You know, I mean, something.
Barbecue shrimp, something like that.
Yeah, get your hands messy. That's how I look at it like that. That way you can kind of understand what we're talking about. Look, the significance, obviously, that it's going in that direction. You got to love that. We're 8 days, man, from the draft. So that's Cooley's in town and all that is taking place. But look, you know, it's getting closer, and I just think it's going to be better once all this kind of gets put to bed. You heard David Griffin this morning saying, look, there's no shot clock on it, but I think we all would love to just turn the page and move on. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. For me, it's just more than anything, I just want fans from other teams who have no idea what they're talking about to just stop getting in my mentions on social media talking about bad AD trades. So, yes, I'm ready to move on to a different part of life, to the optimism of next season, and just get this dark period behind. The one thing that we can say about all this, though, is if AD having to make his demand is what pushes the Pelicans into being a consistent and respected franchise, I'll thank him for that every time I see him.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, man. It's, like I said, Thursday can't get here soon enough, man.
It really can't.
Thursday and the next part. Yeah, next part. I don't think I'm going to talk to you before the next game. Do we go back to Toronto?
I think so now. Yeah, I think so now. Ooh. I think the next one is going to be very emotional for Golden State. You know, I think the way that it went down, the way the crowd reacted, I think that there is an anger that Golden State will play with, an intensity that they will come out with that I think Toronto will frankly struggle to match coming off this disappointment in game five. So, yeah, I think you end up back in Toronto for game seven, and I think the Raptors will win in seven.
Game six is Thursday. The way to follow Mr. David Grubb is on Twitter at DMGrubb, and, of course, CrescentCitySports.com. Always a pleasure, man, when you join us in the afternoons. Thank you, bud.
Anytime, my friend.
Thank you, David Grubb. Quick break. We come back. We'll take your phone calls and open it. Practice going a little bit longer. Again, it was scheduled 11 to 1:15. The open portion, 12 to 1:15. Joey, Sean Fazan just tweeted 2 minutes ago. Sack time, as the graph likes to say. Marcus Davenport, sack of Teddy Bridgewater in the 2 minute drill. About that. Taysom Hill, 13 seconds ago per John Hendricks, just hit Dan Arnold on a seam route for a big play. So the black and gold going a little long in front of the fans. Sean Payton will speak afterwards. And Art Jordan, the intern, is there. He'll have that sound for you. As soon as he's done, he'll cut it up, send it to us, and we'll have it for you. 800-998-1003. Rest of the show, pretty much open to you. If you want to chime in, love to get your opinions on it. Again, a handful of topics today. U.S. Women's World Cup in action at 2 p.m. So just at the top of the hour, they get underway. NBA Finals, let's talk about that. Should KD have played? Does it help or hurt AD's trade chances? Both of them going back and forth. Let's talk about that. Saints minicamp and Cam Jordan's extension. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Join us for the Bioregion Athletic Hall of Fame Thursday, June 20th at Cypress Columns. The sports-themed banquet hosted by the Foundation for Terrebonne General Medical Center and the TGMC Community Sports Institute honors six local professional athletes. Visit TGMC.com for tickets.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotel,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free Bright Side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at Indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, 800-998-1003. If you'd like to give us a buzz, if you'd like to tweet at me at ESPN Radio NOLA as well. Saints wrapping up their first mini camp practice of the day. Lots of action going on, obviously. Lots of storylines here as well. So let's kind of reset things. To me, number one storyline of the day, it's Cam Jordan's deal. The extension is for 3 years, $52.5 million. It's a max of $55 million when you total it all up. He had 2 years left on his deal, so it's 5 years, 74. $42 million guaranteed out of that $52.5 million extension. So 5 years, 74 is what he has. It puts him on par with everything else. I think kudos. Kudos to the team for doing it. Kudos to Cam Jordan for understanding it. He tweeted earlier in the week he didn't have to be the highest paid. He just wanted to feel the love, and he wanted to be here as a Saint. And it helps get you ahead of the, you know, race for the big paydays that are coming here as well. So 800-998-1003, and give us a call back, Dave. I just saw you going there. We're about to go to you, and we'll get your comments and takes here as well. So thoughts on Cam Jordan getting the extension. Again, no Drew Brees today, so Teddy Bridgewater getting the opportunity to work with the starting unit. And as for Drew, again, it's still tied up with the legal proceedings in San Diego. You got to imagine, look, he's already ticked off. Obviously, this is all public that he felt swindled. You know, Joey, you know how it's like. You buy $3 million in diamonds and winds up, or you know, valued at $3 million, you paid $8 million. You know, these are your problems that you're used to. You know, I mean, investing in
every
diamonds.
Every day, yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, he's already bothered that all of this is getting public. You add that, and then you add that it's taking away practice time. You can just imagine what Drew's... Can you just imagine right now what he's like in San Diego? I mean, if there's one guy that would rather be practicing than doing that, it's him. So that's why he's not there. No Cameron Meredith doing some side work. Again, that's 3 weeks of OTAs and now the first day of minicamp. My guess is if you haven't gone this far, we'll just see a training camp if I'm the team, right? I mean, does it matter if he works tomorrow and Thursday? I mean, he hadn't the rest of the time. So whatever is ailing Cameron Meredith, I would assume that the expectation level is that he's ready to go come training camp end of July. If he starts training camp doing side work, I don't think I need to finish that sentence, right? A couple of the highlights I've seen reporters tweet on the day, and yes, Mr. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson getting a nice pass breakup on Cyril Grayson. That said, he was lined up with Jared Cook, trying to cover him, and then a nice catch, and this was John DeShazer tweeting it, by Jared Cook, tightly covered by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, but it's just a catch radius. He's so big that you just have to put the ball anywhere in that vicinity and area, and he was going to get it up for here, for there. So, again, it just goes to show you, look, between Ted Ginn, Michael Thomas, you throw in Jared Cook, I think the Saints are pretty covered the receiver position and being able to pass the football down the field. It's going to add that element. That said, you do want to see some of the other guys maybe step up, make some plays. Like I said earlier in hour number one, I don't know what exactly I'm trying to see out of Tre'Quan Smith. I don't know exactly what I'm hoping to see out of Tre'Quan Smith. Especially when there's no contact and things. All I know is that last year at this time and going into training camp, you saw him kind of stand out, going up and making plays. The one catch on the far sideline that had Drew Brees sprinting downfield and congratulating and picking him up when he, dove and laid out to go get it. I guess something like that is something that you may be looking for. Really haven't seen that just yet. But look, I have the asterisk next to it and I said it going into break. Marcus Davenport getting a sack of Teddy Bridgewater in a two-minute offense. Two things there. One, the sack in the two-minute drill. You love that. B, the fact that it's Bridgewater, that it's Marcus Davenport, that's key. Remember, started at OTAs 3 weeks ago, just watching. Then he did team, did everything but team in week two. You saw him last week fully participate. Now you're seeing him go the entire day of minicamp and get a sack in the 2 minute. Man, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Look, that is what you use two first round picks for. I know people like to argue, was it really two? It's just one. Well, you gave up this year's first and used last year's first to get them. So essentially it's two first round picks. However you want to look at it, let's see what he can provide and what he can do. Bottom line, He made a play. I know it's practice. I know there's no padding. There's no, way for the offensive lineman to really do that or anything. But, I like this. Let's see a little bit more that comes their way as well. Couple of the other things to note, Larry Holder of The Athletic saying that you're seeing Eric McCoy now pretty much the starting center going, with the ones. So, when you look at it from that standpoint, again, in weeks one and two, it was primarily Cameron Tom. In week two, you saw him kind of go in and out with the first unit, getting some opportunities with the ones. Last week, kind of the same situation. It looks like he's getting more and more time with the first unit here. So let's see if that continues to go from that perspective. So 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. If you want to pass along your thoughts. Also, what do you think's the score today? Coming up in 15 minutes, U.S. taking on Thailand. Joey, you got a score? 31 says 4-0. 4-0 and Rose will score the opener for the U.S.
I'll say 3-1 U.S.
3-1. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going 3-1 as well. I'm going 3-1.
Yeah.
I'm going 3-1.
I follow Raphael.
Raphael had what? 3-1?
3-1.
Yep. He had 3-1. Kenny Farrell going off the deep end. He's going never 5-0.
He's never steered me wrong, Raphael, which is why I'm still working.
Yeah.
I put
exactly
my money where it's
no doubt, but
yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So we'll see what happens at 2 o'clock when that gets going. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll play some of the sound from last night's game number 5. 800-998-1003. Love to hear from you. Plus, Pels fans, what do you make out of the dueling reports yesterday? Scott Kushner on The Advocate yesterday. I thought I had a nice headline. Buckle up. Anthony Davis trade saga, now a full-blown confrontation with the Pelicans. Is it a confrontation? I don't know how else you can take it, right? One side says, this is what I want. The other side says, that's fantastic. Unless it's with the Lakers or Knicks, I don't know why you're bothering. Because I ain't signing a long-term deal unless it's with one or the other. Let's talk a little bit more about that coming up. Got us all the way at 3 o'clock. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
You don't feel right. You sleep plenty, but you're always tired. Your joints hurt. You push through it. It could be lupus. We're here to help. Learn more at BeFiercetakeControl.org. Brought to you by the Lupus Foundation of America and CDC.
Listen up, fellas. DXL is built for big and tall guys, okay? Which means they've got clothes built for style, built for comfort, and best of all, built for you. Get this, DXL spent years developing their own sizing patterns to deliver a great fit every time and every size. And with over 100 brands, DXL will have you looking great. So head to DXL.com and check out a store near you. DXL Big and Tall, built for you at DXL.com.
What is hope? Hope to me was just that he would get to come home. I had no idea how hard it would be once he got back.
I wish she'd stop drinking so much. She thinks it's helping, but it's not. I hope she sees that soon.
I act like I don't care if he comes to my games. But I hope he does.
I used to hope he'd find happiness again. Now I hope our marriage makes it.
I hope Grandpa will get help. He thinks it's too late, but it's not.
With everything that he's going through, I hope he sees a counselor. I just want my brother back.
I hoped he'd get help. Stop hoping things would get better on their own. He told me to stop asking. I didn't. Then one day he asked for a ride.
Hope is knowing there are other families just like yours, that the veterans they love got help and recovered. Go to maketheconnection.net and turn hope into action.
Join us on Saturdays from 10 to noon for the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair for the latest in high school, college, and professional sports from your local sports experts. That's the Sports Corner presented by Terrebonne General Medical Center Community Sports Institute with Stan Gravois and Casey Gisclair on Saturday from 10 to noon right here on ESPN 100.3.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Tim Legler, you know, it's funny when you look at the Kevin Durant situation, you wonder if a lot of people, Joey, go, look, it looked nasty. Obviously, there's a lot of videos on social media, close-up of the calf. Well, you can see the tendon detaching and starts to swim in the calf muscle area. It's a nasty-looking thing. And look, you saw the initial injury. And my initial thoughts when you saw the initial injury, and especially just hearing the guys on TNT and ESPN right afterwards saying, guys that have ruptured their Achilles say they always look back because it feels like somebody kicked them in the back of the foot. And it's exactly what Kevin Durant did. I know the Warriors are saying that it was a calf. It'll be reviewed, right? And what I mean by it'll be reviewed, if I'm KD, look, business is business. I'm having my lawyers look at it. It might have just cost me a lot. Again, end of the day, player takes the risk if he asks, but you're trusting the medical staff to clear you. I've seen a lot on social media today, people that are doctors saying they've never seen a calf strain lead to an Achilles tear. It's two different parts. You can say it's a calf strain, but the calf goes into the Achilles. Some are wondering if they're just using that as semantics when it was an Achilles strain or a slight tear. There's two things that are interesting to me. KD's reaction. Joey, if you want to win, you want to play in the finals, it's stunk that you've been out for 8 games. We all know how big free agency is. It's an injury. You know it happens the second it happens. You see the video, Joey. You see him immediately go down, clutch at the bottom of his ankle, wave the trainer. He knows. It's the following that stood out to me. That's me. I've been working to get back, and let's be honest, Kevin Durant's had burner accounts because he didn't like people tweeting bad about him. And I'm, for lack of a better phrase, thin-skinned. He's been hearing people say he needs to get on the court. He's been hearing he needs to go out and help his team. They're down 3-1. He didn't slap the floor once. head didn't go in the palm of his hands, didn't yell. I didn't say I told you. It wasn't angry. And just looked at the bench, said, "Come get me." It's like he knew. Here's Rachel Nichols, and we'll go to the phones.
I walked out of the building with Steve Kerr and Scott. I mean, he just kept saying to me, he's like, the doctors told us that he couldn't get more hurt by coming back, that he had cleared that hurdle. And he just kind of kept saying that over and over again. And I think that's the pain you see on someone like his face, Bob Myers' face. They feel responsible for this situation, even though, of course, no human's responsible for an injury happening to someone else. They do feel like, but we fought this, and that's why we made that decision, and then this other thing happened, and you can see it's going to be a very long flight home for them.
That's Rachel Nichols. Devin, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What you got, bud?
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, thanks. So I'm just calling just to make a comment on Kevin Durant, man. I'm sure. A Kevin Durant fan. And that absolutely devastated me last night. But say they go on to somehow rally back and win the whole entire thing. Do you all think that because that it is an MVP award, that they could somehow gift Kevin Durant for only playing 12 minutes the whole the finals MVP award?
I see what you're saying in terms of the importance. But, you know, it's funny you say that because, Devin, I'll ask your opinion as to who you think should get it because me and Brian go back and forth. I think it's Klay Thompson. This team is darn near tough to beat with KD. Without KD, they're really good. And they've swept, they've won, they've gotten to the finals. You can see the difference still not having Kevin Durant. Without Klay Thompson, they don't have a prayer.
Yep.
They don't have a prayer. The game that he missed, they didn't have a prayer. The game he came back, I mean, he was a difference maker. The game that they won in game two, he had more points than Steph Curry. Last night alone in 30 seconds, he knocks down the left wing three to put them up. And then he plays man defense on Kawhi Leonard, stops his drive. And then he stops on the right wing, allows the double team. There goes the ball out of his hands. You just won. I mean, that's what Klay Thompson does for me. Yes, he knocks the three. It's the defense that he plays on other teams that stood out to me. So to me is there. I know what you're saying, his value and you know, what he means. I mean, look, Devin, people, I think, recognize him as the best player in the league. I mean, he is. Yep. He can play defense when he wants and showcases it a lot at times. And offensively, you're not stopping him. I mean, he's just not. And I think that's the sad thing about it. Whether you're a Durant fan, a Warriors fan or not, if you're a basketball guy, dude, you want to see the best play. It would be like watching Michael Jordan tear his Achilles. It really honestly is. It's like watching Jordan tear his Achilles. I mean, you're going to be robbed of what more he could bring, because he can come back, he'll be healthy, he'll play, he won't be the same. He just won't, you know?
Nope. Yeah, agreed.
Do you think they go 7 games? You think they win game 6 on Thursday?
Well, because of this injury and the reaction from Toronto's crowd, I think it's going to bring new life back to Golden State. I think they come back and honestly beat Toronto by possibly double digits. I do think it goes to game 7. I can't go beyond that. I think it goes game 7, though. I do. Just because of Kevin Durant coming back, you know, say he didn't come back. You know, say Golden State just played without him and they lost game 5 completely. I feel like him coming back and trying and getting hurt and showing that he was there for the team, that brought a whole new life and energy back to the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I just think I think Toronto had it there, and for some reason they just I don't know, man, that timeout, you know, it's one of those things where that timeout can work. In another instance, that timeout maybe doesn't. I don't know. What do you think of the timeout?
Well, it's not all about the players on the court, man. I mean, obviously he hadn't been in a big position. Maybe he didn't, you know, maybe he was. I don't know what he was thinking, man. Personally, you know, it's on the coach as well. You know, he's just as important as the players. So yeah. That was huge. You know, that could have easily cost them, or, you know, it did, obviously. But, yeah, I agree. I think it was a bad choice.
He is. Devin, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it, buddy.
Absolutely. Have a good day.
You too. 800-998-1003 as we reach the top of the hour. If you're on the line, hold on. We'll come to you at the beginning of next hour. No guests, just you. We can chat as we will continue to talk a little bit more about an NBA Finals. Women's World Cup kicking off right now, top of the hour. Pels Summer League is 5 through the 15th of July, July 5th through the 15th. What David Griffin had to say, we'll recap a little bit about that. More of your takes. AD, Clutch Sports making a stand. It says Lakers or Knicks. That's it. What happened to that 29 other teams, Joey? What happened to that? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.